Oh, praise the Lord, everyone. It's good to be here tonight on a rainy day, a stormy day, and we might have fewer people than usual because of that, but we're just going to do what we always do. You know, wherever two or three are gathered together, there in my name, there am I in the midst of them. That's what Jesus said, and I believe that he is here with us tonight. So praise the Lord for that. And I'm going to open with a prayer before we begin. Father in heaven, we come before thee in prayer this evening, thanking thee for thy goodness, thanking thee for thy kindness, thanking thee, O God, that thou hast given us this place where we can come and gather in thy name and worship thee. And I pray, O God, that thy spirit would be here tonight. I pray that thy Holy Ghost would be upon each and every one of us. Inspire us, O God, as we sing unto thee, as we worship thee. Inspire us to truly worship thee in spirit and in truth. For we know that thou seekest such to worship thee. And I pray, Lord, that everything we do here tonight would be done according to thy perfect will and thy perfect plan. Lead, guide, and direct us in all things we ask, and we pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus, through the power of thy saving blood. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, if you can find your chorus book, we're going to start with number 143. We have come into this house, number 143. We have come into this house and gathered in his name to worship him. We have come into this house and gathered in his name to worship him. We have come into this house and gathered in his name to worship Christ the Lord. Worship him, Jesus Christ the Lord. He is all my righteousness. I stand complete in him and worship him. He is all my righteousness. I stand complete in him and worship him. I stand complete in him and worship Christ the Lord. Worship him, Jesus Christ the Lord. So forget about yourself and concentrate on him and worship him. So forget about yourself. Concentrate on him and worship him. So forget about yourselves. Concentrate on him and worship Christ the Lord. Worship him, Jesus Christ the Lord. So lift up holy hands and and worship him. Lift up holy hands, magnify his name, and worship him. So lift up holy hands, magnify his name, and worship Christ the Lord. Worship him, Jesus Christ. Gathered in his name to worship him. We have come into this house and gathered in his name to worship him. We have come into this house and gathered in his name to worship Christ the Lord. Worship him, Jesus Christ the Lord. Christ the Lord. Worship Him, Jesus Christ the Lord. So forget about yourself, concentrate on Him, and worship Him. So forget about yourself, concentrate on Him, and worship Him. So forget about yourself, concentrate on Him, and worship Christ the Lord. Worship Him, and Jesus Christ the Lord. So lift up holy hands, and magnify His name, and worship Him. Gathered in His name to worship Him. We have come into this house, gathered in His name to worship Him. We have come into this house, gathered in His name to worship Christ the Lord. Worship Him, Jesus Christ. God. Oh, it is such a privilege to be here, to be able to worship the Lord. Why don't we go to number 64 and sing, Bless the Lord, O My Soul. Number 64. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And all that is with.
He hath done great things. He hath done great things. He hath done great things. Bless His holy name. Bless the
we go now to number 44 and sing Give Unto the Lord, number 44. Give unto the Lord, O ye mighty, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due His name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Give unto the Lord, O ye mighty, give unto the Lord glory and strength. every praise we can give Him. He is due all the worship we can possibly give Him.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. And you know, we would be so helpless, so lost without Him. Why don't we go to number 91 and sing without Him, number 91. Without Him, I could do nothing. Without Him, I'd surely fail. Without Him, I would be drifting like a ship without it's wonderful to have something to live for, and He gives us a purpose. He gives us a reason to live. Let's go to number 98 and sing Because He Lives, number 98. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow because He lives. All fear is gone because I
I can face tomorrow because He lives. All fear is gone.
Another little chorus that we sing sometimes that just seems to go very well with the theme tonight, and it's number 84, I Need Jesus, number 84 in the chorus book. I need Jesus, I need Jesus, I need Jesus every day. I need Him in the sunshine hour. I need Him when the storm clouds lower. Every day along life's way, I need every day. I need Him in the sunshine hour. I need Him when the storm clouds lower. Every day along life's way, I need Jesus. Every day along life's way, I need Jesus. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Well, we are going to be singing one more chorus in just a moment before we turn things over to Shirley. And I just don't feel like we need to take a collection up tonight, so I think we're just going to skip that this time. And, you know, if anybody wants to put anything in the basket later, you can do that. But we're going to pray for healing in his wings. We have a request here, and she wants prayer for her left arm and shoulder. She is in physical therapy for it twice a week, and she has swelling in and near her clavicle bone. She requests prayer for healing, so we're going to pray for her right now. This is one of our online listeners. Father in heaven, we come before thee in prayer this night for healing in his wings, praying, O God, that thou wouldst reach down from heaven. We pray, O God, that she would feel thy presence, that she would feel thy touch, that she would feel thy healing deliverance. For we know that thou art our healer, our wonder-working God, our deliverer, and we know that nothing is too hard for thee. And we pray and ask, O God, for a complete healing, a complete deliverance. Touch her, God. Let her feel thy touch now, even now, as we pray unto thee. And I pray, O God, that all this trouble with her shoulder, with her swelling, I pray that there would be no more pain, but we ask, O God, that thou wouldst heal her completely. Reach down from heaven, we ask. For we know, O God, that thou can do all things, and thou can do all things well. And we just pray, O God, that thou would comfort her. Let her feel thy touch, we pray. Let her reach out to thee, we ask, O God, and heal her, we pray. We ask this in the name of the Lord Jesus, through the power of thy saving blood. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Well, you know, today I spent quite a number of hours just going over the news because I'm preparing to write tomorrow. And this world, I tell you what, it is a mess. I think this world right now is in the biggest mess it's ever been in since I've been alive. But you know what? When you get into the presence of God, and you start worshiping God, and you turn your eyes upon Jesus, all of that just seems to fade into the background, doesn't it? The things of the earth grow strangely dim. Why don't we go to number 128 and sing, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus, number 128. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of the earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of the earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory. Thing to be in the presence of the Lord. Glory to God. Well, I think what we'll do now is get started in the Word and turn it over to Shirley and See what she has to say tonight. Praise the Lord.
Well, praise the Lord. Is this on, Sam? Okay. Praise the Lord. Okay. I know we're really few tonight here, but you know God is here. And you know, it is really wonderful that we can turn our eyes on Jesus. I know what Samuel just said is so true. I know the girls were filling me in a little bit earlier today, and oh my, all the disturbances, the shootings, the stabbings, and all the things going on, plus all the things behind the scene that they try to hide. And we know that we are in very perilous times. There's no doubt about it. There's really no doubt about it. And you know, if we don't have the Lord as our anchor, then I don't know what are we going to do. There's no other way but to rely on the Lord and to get close to Him. So I'll tell you what, I don't know to whom else we can turn. There's no answers other than in Jesus. Amen. So praise the Lord. We're so privileged to be able to open up His Word, to have His Word, to have seen the things that we've seen, to be able to reach out and touch Him, to know Him as our Lord and Savior. We are very, very privileged people. Just most everybody out there is groping in the dark and not knowing where to turn. And I can't imagine what it would be like to see all these perplexing things happening on this earth and not knowing Jesus. Oh my, that would just be so hard to bear. Just seeing as, you know, the powers that be try to come down and usurp their authority and, you know, clamp their claws upon the people and, you know, do all that they can to show who they are, show their teeth. But I'll tell you what, we serve a mighty God, and He is in control regardless of what it looks like out there and whatever else is going on. We serve a mighty God, and we've got to learn to listen to Him, to hear that still small voice, and to know His ways. Amen. To know His ways. We're going to be talking about Show Me Thy Ways here tonight. But before we get into the Word, let's just go into prayer and ask God to be here. Oh, Heavenly Father, we just thank You again for this wonderful privilege of coming here, Lord. Being able to worship, being able to assemble. Oh, God, oh, Lord, be able to raise holy hands unto Thee without wrath and doubting, Lord. Oh God, to be able to turn our eyes upon Thee, Lord. We have been privileged, Lord, as we meet here, Lord, in this little place, oh God, just few of us here, Lord. But I pray, oh Lord, that You would meet with us, God, that You would talk to us, Lord, that You would change us. Oh God, oh Lord, that something deep within us would work, oh Lord, oh God, to make us that what we ought to be in Thee, Lord, to take us to that place, O Lord, in Thee, where we ought to be in Thee, Lord Jesus. I just pray, oh God, that you'd be with all those online, those that would hear this message. I pray that you'd use this, God, that you'd anoint these words, oh God, for truly we can do nothing without you. I know my limitations. I know that without you I am nothing at all, Lord. But I pray, oh God, oh Lord Jesus, oh God, we draw nigh to you, Lord, that you would meet with us, Lord, that you'd bind the strong man, and oh God, every spirit that would attempt to usurp, oh Lord, its authority, its wings, oh Lord, here in this place, God. But I pray, oh Lord, that she would talk to our hearts, and oh God, that she would motivate us, that she would change us, that you'd draw us closer to you, Lord. Oh God, that you'd make us what we ought to be, Lord. Oh God, we don't know the time of thy coming, Lord, but oh Lord, we feel that it is drawing near, Lord, and I pray that she would help us. Oh God, that you'd meet the needs of these people, Lord, those online, those sitting here, Lord, all of us, Lord, you know our needs, God. We bring them before you, Lord. We ask that you'd strengthen us, oh Lord. Oh God, that you'd show us thy ways, that you'd lead us in the way everlasting, oh God, that you'd help us to know you. Oh God, I pray that you'd help us to gather strength, Lord, that you'd strengthen your people, Lord, in Jesus' name, that you'd strengthen us, and oh God, that you'd help us, oh Lord, as we climb that mountain, Lord, oh God, getting into that higher ground where thou art, oh Lord, I pray that you'd help us, Lord, oh God, to strive for the mastery, to strive to be like you, Jesus. Oh God, in Jesus' name, by the power of the blood, oh Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord. I know Brother Tim's been here this while, and we've been praying every night and talking to the Lord. And tell you what, if we ever needed revival, it's right now. If we ever needed to get close to the Lord, it's right now. And I just thank God. I am just thinking, you know, as we were singing and all, you know, we don't know this, you know, we might not have this privilege all that much longer. You know, people could realize how dear it is to be able to gather together and praise the Lord and worship and, you know, hear his word and, you know, get closer to the Lord, to kneel on bended knees, you know, to raise our hands, to do all of these things. I mean, it's been a privilege, you know, and we don't know, you know. You know, we have a little place here with pews, you know, with you know, a place to bend and kneel on our knees and you know, a place, you know, where we can sing and worship. You know, it's a wonderful thing where we can assemble together and talk to the Lord and be here, be one another together, two or three gathered together in the name of the Lord. It's a wonderful thing, you know. I just think a lot of times people just don't grasp how wonderful that is, what a privilege it is. I mean, really, we just don't know. We just don't know when we could, you know, not have this opportunity any longer. But thanks be to God, we're here tonight, and we're going to believe that he's going to work. In the name of Jesus, amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, Jesus. Praise the Lord. But we're going to talk about the Lord's ways. Show me thy ways. You know, and as I was thinking of this, you know, as we're going to go on a journey or something, I remember days of old when I was a child, and we'd take a vacation usually in the summertime and be gone a week or so, And you know, one thing that was highly important as we traveled was a map. I know my daddy had a collection of maps, and you know, it was an extremely important tool as we traveled to have maps. And of course, even now as we travel, I know Brother Tim and I, as we've traveled, we found atlases to be quite nice, and often have resorted to them and used them. But you know, these days, quite often we have something called a GPS, quite a few of us, and you know, a lot of times, you know, we use that to try to get from one place to the next. But it's so important, you know, you just couldn't get in the car and expect it to drive you where you want to go. You got to have some direction. You got to, you know, have some inkling where you're going, you know, what highway to go, what road, what direction. All those things kind of are important. But I'm thinking just how many people are walking this road of life and don't consult the Word of God, don't really have a clue as to where they're going or how they're going to get to any destination. How many people are like that, where they haven't consulted the Word of God, they don't have a pastor who stands over them and directs them and leads them properly. You know, how many people are there out there just groping and trying to find their way, their own way? I know Pastor used to talk about that song Frank Sinatra used to sing, I did it my own way, and I did it my way, and you know, that's the way it is with so many people. They're just, you know, doing what seems good to them in their own way. But we know that Proverbs 14:12 says, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And that's the way most people seem to be going. And I was thinking earlier of that verse in Jeremiah 10. And I hadn't thought of that for a while, but Jeremiah 10, it's verse 23, it says, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. O Lord, correct me, but with judgment, not in thine anger, lest thou bring me to nothing. And you know, that's the way it is. It really isn't within us to direct our own steps. We make all kinds of mistakes and errors, and you know how things change in this world. Everything changes. People and traditions and you know, ways of doing things, they all change. But there is one that's solid, and that's the Lord Jesus. And the way that he has directed has never changed. It's you know, what he declared 2,000 years ago is still the same today. It hasn't changed. I think that's wonderful, because nothing else in this world is stable. But God is. And how important it is to have a Lord direct our steps and to show us the way. We think of those portion of scriptures in Isaiah 55 for a moment, starting with verse 6, where it says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. And so it is. God's ways are higher than men's ways. Men's ways are contrary to the will of God, and man of his own self, is of his own volition, is never going to find his way to God. Not of himself. It's going to take the Lord to direct his steps and to change him. And here it is, that need for the wicked. And we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. We've all had that need to repent. And it talks about the wicked forsaking his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And truly, we have no righteousness of our own. That righteousness that we have, if we have it, is only of God, because he's clothed us with his righteousness. So without him, there's absolutely nothing we can do. But it talks about that forsaking and returning unto the Lord. And praise the Lord, it assures us here, it reassures us that God will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Oh yes, if men and women would just seek the Lord and turn to him with all their hearts. God is so gracious and so merciful and so kind, but yet here we have this need to seek him while he yet may be found, to call upon him while he is near. Yes, because we know that day, that final end is drawing near, that time when we're going to stand before God, the time when that angel stands one foot in the land and one foot in the sea and declares, time shall be no more. It's going to be over one of these days. So here we are, this great need to seek the Lord now, while he yet may be found. That door of opportunity is still opened. That need to call upon him now, while he's near. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We're going to be going to Psalms 25 here and dwelling on some of the scripture here in this chapter. So, praise the Lord. If we could turn there, Psalms 25. And as it begins, unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not mine enemies triumph over me. Yea, let none that wait on thee be ashamed. Let them be ashamed which transgress without cause. And then verse 4 stands out here, and I'm going to dwell on this. This is my theme here tonight. It says, show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy path. Verse 5, lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. Oh yes, that leading that we need from the Holy One of Israel, that God that we serve, how we need him to show us his ways, to open up his ways unto us, to show us the things that we need to know, the direction that we need to pursue, the path that we need to take, how we need that. It says, lead me in thy truth. It's in the word, isn't it? Without the truth, there's no knowledge of the way. It says, teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. Oh yes, there's none other to call on. Who else can show us the way of life? Who else could teach us? Oh, who else could instruct us but our God? Then it says in verse 6, remember, O Lord, thy tender mercies and thy loving kindnesses, for they have been ever of old. And verse 7 says, remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. According to thy mercy, remember thou me for thy goodness' sake, O Lord. And praise the Lord, I'm so thankful that we have this privilege of coming to the Almighty One. We have this privilege of coming to God and giving him our hearts and turning everything over to him. And, you know, knowing that he is faithful and just to forgive us our transgressions and to forgive us all our iniquities, that we can turn it all over to him. We can repent of our sins. We can confess them and turn away. We can forsake them. It tells us in the Proverbs, verse, chapter 28, what a privilege we have of coming to the Lord to confess our sins and then to forsake them, to repent, to turn around, to be shown the Lord's mercy. So here the psalmist is saying, remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. According to thy mercy, remember thou me for thy goodness' sake, O Lord. And praise the Lord, how wonderful it is not only to confess our sins and know that he's faithful to take them from us, but also we have that privilege of going down in the waters of baptism. Yes, being immersed in the name of the Lord Jesus for the remission of our sins with that promise of receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. Then it tells us in verse 8, good and upright is the Lord. Therefore will he teach sinners in the way. And you know, when we come to the Lord, we all come to him as a newborn baby. I'll tell you what, I know one thing is human beings, we're pretty helpless when we're born into this world. And little children, you know, need to be directed in every way that you could imagine. There's not too much that comes instinctively, it seems like. It's, you know, oh boy, continue teaching and instructing when you have little ones. And you know, a lot of times it's, you know, learning the hard way. But the Lord made a way that we could be taught of him. And what a wonderful thing. And not only that, he did make provisions for the body of Christ so that that there would be apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers to instruct the people, to lead them, so that there could be spiritual growth and so that we could know the way. Praise the Lord. So it continues here. The meek will he guide in judgment, and the meek will he teach his ways. And of course, we know that Jesus, his Sermon on the Mount, he talked about, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. And, you know, so it takes that kind of spirit to come to the Lord. You know, it talks about being poor in spirit. And it talks about those that mourn and are comforted. And it talks about the meek there in that Sermon on the Mount. And it talks about them that hunger and thirst after righteousness. And all these characteristics are so needed if a person is really going to be turned around and be instructed by the Lord in his word. But it tells us here, the meek will he guide in judgment, and the meek will he teach his way. You know, that person that thinks they know everything, that person that will not be instructed, that person that will not turn to the Lord, he's not going to learn, is he? He's not going to be turned around. He's not going to repent. But praise the Lord, when that heart is right, when that heart is submitted to God, and in that realization of that great need, oh, praise the Lord, that person will be guided in judgment, and the meek will he teach his ways. That's a wonderful thing. Then it tells us in verse 10, all the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth unto such as keep his covenant and his testimonies. Oh, praise the Lord. That's what his paths are all about. They lead to his mercy and according to his truth, to such as keep his covenant and his testimonies, the things that are deep inside that he puts within that, you know, makes us determined that we're going to keep his laws. We're going to commit them to our hearts and we're going to live by them. And then that path is full of mercy and truth unto such as keep his covenant and his testimonies. It tells us in verse 11, for thy name's sake, O Lord, pardon mine iniquity, for it is great. What man is he that feareth the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way that he shall choose. We know the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. You know, if a person doesn't respect God, if he doesn't fear God, his judgment, his impending wrath, then there's no hope for him. It's absolutely essential. If a person is going to be right with God, if a person is going to be able to stand before God and be at the Lord's right hand, he's going to have to fear God. He's going to have to respect God, his words, his judgments, his ways. It's going to have to be deep inside. And it tells us, him shall he teach in the way that he shall choose. The Lord shall choose. The Lord directing our steps. It says, his soul shall dwell at ease, and his seed shall inherit the earth. The wonderful promises of God. And then verse 14. Oh, I think this is special. It says, the secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant. Oh, praise the Lord. You know, the unknown things, the things that are known only to God. It tells us here that those things are revealed to them that fear him, and God will show them his covenant, his special promises, his ways, his word, his truth. All of those things unfold to them that fear the Lord, respect him, that walk in his ways, that desire to be taught, that have that prayer, show me thy ways, O Lord, teach me thy paths. I know a couple Sundays ago Samuel was talking about Solomon, and truly, you know, we know that Solomon ended up making many mistakes, but initially when he became king, he had a very good start. He had a humble attitude, and he had a very submissive spirit at that moment. And if we could just turn just briefly here to 1 Kings for a little bit, to the third chapter. Just want to reflect a little bit on Solomon here for a moment. Here he is. Tells us in the third chapter of 1 Kings and the third verse that he loved the Lord. And he was walking in the statutes of David, his father, while he sacrificed and burnt incense in high places. Well, there was yet no tabernacle, or there were no temple. It had not yet been built. So perhaps that was an excuse. But then it tells us here it was the king. He was young. He'd just been made king. And he went to Gibeon to sacrifice there. And, you know, honestly, boy, I'll tell you what, it was really in his heart. He was going to do this. It says, for that was the great place. Excuse me, that was the great high place. 1,000 burnt offerings did Solomon offer upon that altar. 1,000. That's a lot. But that obviously was in his heart. He wanted to give to God all that he could give. Out of his abundance, out of a thankful heart, he was given to God. He was sacrificing. And it was like, I couldn't give too much. I'm just going to give everything I can give to God. 1,000 burnt offerings. Must have taken a long time to offer that many sacrifices upon that altar there at Gibeon. But that he did. And there that night, after he had done that, it tells us in verse 5 that the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night. And God must have been pleased with his offerings. You know, obviously, not only did he offer 1,000 burnt offerings, but obviously his heart was right. Because otherwise, if it would have been like Cain's offering to the Lord, his heart wasn't right. And God couldn't respect his offering. But obviously, God was pleased with what Solomon did there at Gibeon. And God appeared to him that night and said, ask what I shall give thee. And, you know, Solomon showed the humility of his heart and the true desires. And this is what he said in verse 6. Thou hast showed unto thy servant David, my father, great mercy, according as he walked before thee in truth and in righteousness and in uprightness of heart with thee. And thou hast kept for him this great kindness, that thou hast given him a son to sit on his throne as it is this day. And now, O Lord my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David, my father, and I am but a little child. I know not how to go out or come in. And thy servant is in the midst of thy people, which thou hast chosen, a great people that cannot be numbered nor counted for multitude. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this thy so great a people? Oh, what I see here is he realized his need. He realized that without God he could do nothing at all. And here he is. God had asked him, what shall I give thee? And we know he could have asked for a million different things. Riches and wealth and prestige and abilities and all that sort of thing. But here he asked that he would have wisdom to know how to judge the people properly, to discern between good and bad. And he didn't. He admitted that in himself he didn't know how to go out or come in. He showed that humility. I am but a little child. And you know, Jesus said that if we're going to come to God, we have to come to him as little children. with a humility, with a realization, hey, I need you, Jesus. I've got these sins. They're old filthy rags, and they're hanging on my head. They're dangling over me. I need you, Jesus. I can't get rid of them myself. There has to be a willingness to humble oneself and to turn to the living God and submit oneself to God, to surrender that will and those ways to God. And I praise God, Solomon here, as he began his start as king of Israel, had a humble heart, a right attitude, a clean heart, a spirit that pleased the Lord. And it tells us in verse 10 that that speech pleased the Lord, that Solomon asked this thing. And of course God said, because thou had asked this thing and hast not asked for thyself long life, neither hast asked riches for thyself, nor hast asked the life of thine enemies, but hast asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment. Behold, I have done according to thy words. Lo, I have given thee a wise and understanding heart, so that there was none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall any arise like unto thee. And God said he was going to give him those things that he had not asked for, if he would walk in his ways to keep his statutes and his commandments as his father David had walked. And then God said, I will lengthen thy days. So praise the Lord. That showed that he had that right spirit. And there's another story that came to me as I was pondering these things today, and that's in the book of Judges. If we could go there to the 13th chapter. And of course, we know the book of Judges. It's after the days of Moses were over. The days of Joshua were over. The days of the elders were over. And now Israel didn't have a certain individual of strength over them anymore. And so it would be off and on their commitment to the Lord. And, you know, this book of Judges ends that, you know, everyone did only that which was right in their own eyes. It was a time when there wasn't any great certainty in you know, anyone to declare the word of God and anyone to stand there and lead the people. Except God would raise up judges. And here in the 13th chapter of Judges, we find out again what would happen is because these children of Israel would do well for a little length of time. God would, you know, give them a judge to direct their path for this span of time. But, you know, when that individual died all at once, you know, they'd go back to their old ways and the idolatry and all the practices of the heathen and, you know, find themselves in great trouble. And then God, actually in his mercy, would allow an enemy to come and overtake them. So, you know, they'd be in bondage. And eventually they'd get the drift of it and realize, oh boy, we need God. We're in trouble again. And, you know, they would begin to cry out again. And God in his mercy would send forth a deliverer. Well, so it happened here. They had done evil in the sight of the Lord. Again, it tells us here in this first verse. So the Lord delivered them into the hand of the Philistines 40 years. That's quite a span of time. And it tells us that there was a certain man of Zorah, the family of the Danites, whose name was Manoah, and his wife was barren and bare not. And must have been something about Manoah that God could see and understand. I believe this man must have feared the Lord and his wife, obviously. And people were crying out for help. God was hearing them. God was going to show them mercy. So here it is. The angel of the Lord appears unto the woman, Manoah's wife, and said unto her, behold now, thou art barren, and bearest not, but thou shalt conceive and bear a son. And then this angel of the Lord began to give her instructions. This angel said, now therefore beware, I pray thee, and drink not wine or strong drink, and eat not any unclean thing. For lo, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and a razor shall come on his head, For the child shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb, and he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. Okay, so she was told. And it says the woman came, and she told her husband, saying, "A man of God came unto me. His countenance was like the countenance of an angel of God, very terrible. But I asked him not whence he was, neither told me his name. But he said unto me, Behold, thou shalt conceive and bear a son. No, drink no wine nor strong drink, neither eat any unclean thing. For the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb to the day of his death." Okay, so as we just read, the angel had appeared to Manoah's wife. Now she's telling Manoah, and I like what Manoah did. It tells us in verse 8, you know, he had not personally seen the angel of the Lord. So he entreated the Lord in verse 8 and said, "O my Lord, let the man of God which thou didst send come again unto us and teach us what we shall do unto the child that shall be born." And here it is. There was something deep within. He didn't want to do anything by mistake, or he wanted to be proper and raise this child according to the directive of God. And I also like how this couple really they did fight against what God had told them. They graciously accepted what the angel of the Lord had told them. They weren't questioning it or saying this is impossible or any of that. They just trusted the Lord. And here, Manoah, he's entreating God. "Oh, my Lord, let the man of God which thou didst send come again unto us and teach us what we shall do unto the child that shall be born." Oh, I like that was in him, to know, to be taught. And God obviously saw that as very proper. It says that God hearkened to the voice of Manoah. And the angel of God came again unto the woman as she sat in the field. But Manoah, her husband, was not with her. And it tells us then, the woman made haste and ran and showed her husband and said unto him, "Behold, the man hath appeared unto me that came unto me the other day." So, in verse 11, "And Manoah arose and went after his wife and came to the man and said unto him, Art thou the man that spakest unto the woman? And he said, I am." And here is Manoah again. He said unto the angel of the Lord, "Now let thy words come to pass. How shall we order the child, and how shall we do unto him?" And, you know, the angel of the Lord had, you know, told the woman some specific things. And you know, that was basically what she needed to know. But Manoah needed some insights himself. You know, he just wanted to know himself, you know, just precisely how to go about it. And so it was all confirmed to him. Verse 13, "And the angel of the Lord said unto Manoah, Of all that I said unto the woman, let her beware. She may not eat of anything that cometh of the vine, neither let her drink wine or strong drink, nor eat any unclean thing. All that I commanded her, let her observe. And Manoah said unto the angel of the Lord, I pray thee, let us detain thee. And we shall make ready a kid for thee." He wanted to be hospitable to this angel of the Lord, though he didn't discern who this really was at the moment yet. And the angel of the Lord said unto Manoah, "Though thou detain me, I will not eat of thy bread. And if thou wilt offer a burnt offering, thou must offer it unto the Lord." For Manoah knew not that he was an angel of the Lord. It wasn't revealed to him yet. And of course, you know, his wife had said, this person like unto, an angel of the Lord came unto me, and, you know, yet I didn't inquire of his name, and I don't really know who he was. So Manoah is asking the angel in verse 17, and Manoah said unto the angel of the Lord, what is thy name? That when thou say, thy sayings come to pass, we may do thee honor. And the angel of the Lord said unto him, why askest thou thus after my name, seeing it is secret? God was not revealing his name. But Manoah wanted to do service here. He wanted to offer an offering. And he'd been told, if you're going to offer an offering, you got to do it unto the Lord. So Manoah took a kid with a meat offering and offered it upon a rock unto the Lord. And the angel did wondrously, and Manoah and his wife looked on it. Can you imagine having been here to see this sight? Here you are, you know, all this wonderful thing has happened already. These wonderful things have happened, and, you know, you've seen, you know, this angel of the Lord appear before you and give you sudden instructions, and you know, all at once, you know, you've learned something, you know, you never dreamed. And here it is, you know, it's all happening so quickly. And you know, Manoah obviously wanted to be gracious and, you know, do something for this messenger. But of course, you know, he was told, you know, as far as his name, it was a secret. And you know, that if you're going to offer something, it's got to be unto the Lord. So here it is, he's doing that. He offered a kid with a meat offering, and he offered it upon a rock. It's all the wood and all the kid, if it was a goat or whatever, it's there, and he's offering it to the Lord with a meat offering. And all at once, it came to pass, it tells us in verse 20, when the flame went up toward heaven from off the altar, that the angel of the Lord ascended into the flame of the altar. And Manoah and his wife looked on it and fell on their faces to the ground. All at once, something came over them. They realized this was not an ordinary messenger by any means. This was not. They had seen, oh, the Lord of hosts. And can you just imagine? That must have been really something, as they had offered that burnt offering before the Lord, and as the flame went up, that angel of the Lord ascended up into the flame of the altar. And it was gone. It was gone. And it tells us that the angel of the Lord did no more appear to Manoah and to his wife. Then Manoah knew that he was an angel of the Lord. And he said unto his wife, we shall surely die, because we have seen God. But his wife said unto him, if the Lord was pleased to kill us, he would not have received a burnt offering and a meat offering at our hands. Neither would he have showed us all these things, nor would as at this time have told us such things as these. Yeah, praise the Lord. How wonderful it is. And you know, this little incident that reminds me of those two that were on the road to Emmaus there in the 24th chapter of Luke. And it was 3 days after Jesus had been crucified. And as they were walking, they were on the way to Jerusalem and had a ways to go, obviously. They 60 furlongs to Jerusalem, a bit of a journey there. And they were talking about what had just happened. I suppose about how they had crucified Jesus, and all this and that. And then, you know, they knew that, you know, certain women had gone to the tomb and the body was not there. And, you know, they were just talking about it. They didn't know what to think. And, you know, all at once, you know, Jesus came and walked alongside them, only they didn't know it was Jesus. He joined them and, you know, he asked them, you know, just what they were pondering, you know. And, you know, they were, oh, well, don't you know? Are you a stranger? You haven't heard what's gone on here in Jerusalem? And, well, Jesus began to expound to them the things from his word, all the things that were written in Moses and in all the prophets concerning himself. All that way as they were on their way to Jerusalem, that trip from Emmaus, they were talking up together, and Jesus was communing with them and showing them the scriptures that he had fulfilled, the glorious scriptures. And what a wonderful, wonderful, oh my, study that must have been. So anyway, when they got to their dwelling place, they asked Jesus to come in and join them. And it was evening, and they thought it would be wise to invite him in. And so he came in. And, you know, it says that he took meat, and he blessed it, and he broke it. And suddenly, after he blessed it and broke it, it was gone. He was gone. He was gone. And, you know, all at once they knew that it had not been any ordinary person who had came and walked with them and communed with them and told them all these things. All at once they realized who was walking with them. It was the Lord. It was Jesus. And what a revelation that must have been to realize, oh, did not our hearts burn within us while we were in the way? Oh my, well, that's our God. Sometimes it's hidden from people, his reality and who he is and the things of God. But how beautiful when it's revealed and people can see and judge and know the Lord for themselves and turn from all their ways. But what I found was so appropriate here for our study tonight about Manoah was that inquiry that was deep within his heart, that desire that he would be taught how that child's life would be directed, that he would know how to order the child and how they should do unto him. It was deep within. And I think if we're walking with the Lord, if our goal is to get to heaven, that there should be something deep within all of us that wants to know the ways of the Lord, who wants to be taught the ways of the Lord, wants to learn the things that are in God's Word. And so it is, as we were reading there in Psalms, the 25th chapter, where it says, "Show me thy ways, O Lord, teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day." It's said just a little bit differently in the 27th chapter of Psalms. We just look at this a minute. The 11th verse, the psalmist writes, "Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path, because of mine enemies." And I think, wow, there's times when things may seem obscure and uncertain, and surely none of us know the way of ourselves. There's no way. We are told to trust in the Lord with all our heart and to lean not unto our own understanding. We're told to commit our ways unto the Lord and that he would direct our path. And here the psalmist, it's so appropriate where he says, "Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path." Oh, a path that we can see so that we can know the way that God would have us to go. So that we don't go out and make all kinds of mistakes and then have to do detours and you know, have to come back again and again and again. Oh, praise the Lord. But the Lord knows how to instruct us, how to lead us, how to get us to that place that we need to be. In the 40th chapter of Isaiah, we go there. The prophet is talking about John the Baptist and the coming of the Lord Jesus. We look at these verses, verse 3 in particular here. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. Oh, the Lord was going to come to this world, wasn't he? He was going to come, oh, to show the way, to prepare the way, that we might walk in it, that we might turn from our willful, sinful, lustful ways and come to the living God, that our path might be made straight. And it says in verse 5 here in Isaiah 40, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. And we know, after those years of silence, that John the Baptist came on the scene. He was the voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight, as it tells us in John, the first chapter. But also going to Luke, the third chapter here, and reading that rendition there here. Luke, the third chapter. Tells us in verse 3, and it came, and he came unto all the country about Jordan, preaching the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. As it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be brought low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways shall be made smooth. And all flesh shall see the salvation of the Lord. Oh yes, the Lord Jesus was coming on the scene. He was coming on the scene to show the way, to lead and to direct, to make that path straight. Oh, so that, oh yes, the crooked could be taken out of the way and people could see and understand the ways of the Lord as that messenger comes forth. I think I like how it's stated in Hebrews, the 12th chapter 2, verse 13, where it says, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Oh, when we walk in the way, then I'll tell you what, the light is seen in us. And those that are out of the way can see it. Them, those that are lame spiritually, blinded spiritually, can be turned to the Lord Jesus. They can be healed when we make straight paths for our feet. In other words, we walk in the precepts of God's word. We don't go to the right and the left. We don't embrace other things, other concepts, other philosophies of men. We submit ourselves in obedience to the word of God. We walk in a straight path. Oh, yes, it is a straight path, isn't it? Oh, yes. You know, we know that Jesus himself said to enter ye in at the straight gate. For wide is the way, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. Many there be that go in thereat. And that so it is. Oh, yes, the way of truth is straight. That gate is straight. The way is narrow, and we're told that few there be that find it. That's the seriousness of this, and it's so important. If we're going to be children of the Lord, that we don't, fiddle around and try to, embrace the world and live half in the world and think that we're all right with God. And, people look at that and think, that's a Christian? They're saying that? Their vocabulary, their words, they cuss, they swear, they do this, they drink booze, you know, they smoke cigarettes, you know, they, you know, go to dances, they, you know, they listen to that filthy movie and all that kind of thing, and you know, that's not making a straight path for your feet. You know, if you're hopping the world, I'll tell you what, you're not walking with God, and how are the lame going to be turned out of the way? They see that kind of confusion. That's not a Christian, one who's, you know, kind of thinking, you know, that they're okay and indulging in the things of this world and, you know, putting the name of Christ over there. But yeah, I'll tell you what, that's the way it is. I get it again. You know, most church folks, you know, have all kinds of things that they've engaging in, and you know, embracing, and you know, in truth, they haven't really surrendered to the Lord. In truth, they haven't really given it over to the Lord. They haven't really made up their mind that they're really serving Jesus. They're, you know, trying to do both, trying to serve two masters. Jesus said, you can't do that. You can't serve two masters. You know, you're going to either love one and hate the other, or, you know, hold to one and despise the other. You can't serve God and mammon. Jesus said that. But the need, oh yes, to make straight paths for our feet so that those that are lame will not be turned out of the way. So those that are searching, who need a Savior, will see the light in us and we can show them the way. How important it is. How important it is to live in that condition where everything is right with the Lord. But Jesus was declaring the way as he walked this earth. And he was going to make a way that we could have his word in our hearts so that we could know the way, so that we could follow him, so that we could be his disciples in word and in truth. And if we look at John, the 14th chapter, we hear how Jesus was talking about the Comforter, and how he would make a way for his people. He had stated in the 18th verse of John 14 that he would not leave us comfortless. I will come to you. Oh, yes, he knew that his time on earth was limited. It was only a short 3.5 years, but, you know, he was going to come to his people. He was going to make a way. And verse 26, he tells us here in this 14th chapter of John, the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Oh yes, he's going to make a way so that we could be taught of the Lord, so we could know the ways of the Lord, so we could walk in his path and know him. He was going to send the Comforter, whom the Father was going to send in his name. And that Comforter, that Holy Ghost, the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ, was going to come to teach us all things and bring all things to our remembrance, the things that we needed to know, the instructions that we needed, the way. All of that he was going to give to us, not leaving us comfortless, not leaving us without a guide, without a chart, without understanding. He was going to give it to us. Oh, yes, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. And if we look at the 16th chapter of John, Jesus continues talking about that Comforter. Oh, in verse 7, John 16, he told them, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. That Holy Ghost that is within us is a reprover. If we're really walking in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And you know, it reproves sin. Because sin has no part with God. And people are not going to understand why we don't mix and mingle with them and why we don't indulge in certain ways. But he comes, the Holy Ghost, as a reprover of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and ye see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. And yes, righteous judge is going to come one of these days. He is going to judge this world in righteousness. It won't matter what man's standards are or what people have believed or what their notions are. It's going to be his time to judge. And I'll tell you what, there's going to be no one that is going to be able to stand before him with sin. Oh, that sin is going to be reproved. That sin has to be given to God. It has to be repented of. Oh, yes, because sin does not stand before the living God. But I thank God that we can give it to him, knowing that he is faithful and judge to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But Jesus said here in this 16th chapter, verse 12, I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. He knew that, you know, they didn't even begin to comprehend all the things that he could tell them. They couldn't even comprehend at this moment that he was going to be crucified and that, you know, he would be raised again. They couldn't get it at this moment, but the Holy Ghost was going to come. The Holy Ghost was going to show them these things that they needed to know. The Holy Ghost was going to lead them, going to guide them, give them power over sin, that ability to witness in this world that is so full of darkness and sin. And verse 13 tells us, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. Oh, yes, the Holy Ghost would come to dwell in the people of the Lord so that we would know the things of God, so we wouldn't have to live in confusion, so we could have that avenue to God, that continue little sanctuary to the living God where we could come before him and hear his voice. And have his reassurances and talk to him and commune with him. And it says in verse 14, he shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I that he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. A little while, ye shall not see me. And again, a little while, and ye shall see me, because I go to the Father. He didn't get it, but Jesus knew that he was not going to be gone forever. That one glorious day, that same Jesus that they watched ascend into heaven would so return. He would so return in like manner, coming again to receive his people and also coming to judge this world in righteousness. But praise the Lord, God made a way so that we could know the ways of the Lord, so that we could be taught of the Lord. Psalm 16, verse 11 says, thou wilt show me the path of life, the path of life, of everlasting life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. What was the psalmist talking about? Oh, he was talking about that day. Oh, when we could live in the presence of the Lord. Yes, the Messiah, the King, was going to come. He was going to come in person as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But they wouldn't understand. They wouldn't see. They wouldn't acknowledge him. For the most part. But he was going to show unto his own, his people, the path of life. And how was he going to do it? He wasn't going to leave them comfortless. He was going to come and be with them. He's going to let his presence indwell within a human being so that he could direct our steps, so he could show us the way, so he could lead us in the way everlasting, so we could be taught of the Lord, knowing that he is our salvation, and on him do we wait all the day. But so it is, and we know that the Holy Ghost did come. Jesus did not leave them comfortless. The day of Pentecost came when they were all assembled together there in one place with one accord. And praise the Lord, it happened. That sound of a mighty rushing wind came and filled all the house where they were sitting. It appeared unto them cloven tongues like as on fire, and it sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. There it was, God fulfilling his word, just as he told Joel, the prophet, in the second chapter of Joel, that in the last days he was going to pour out of his Spirit upon all flesh. Your sons, your daughters shall prophesy, your young men shall see visions, your old men shall dream dreams, and on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. Oh, it had happened. God sent forth his Spirit. He made a way. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand are pleasures forevermore. Oh, that's what he has for the people of the Lord. So we don't have to walk in confusion. We don't have to, you know, go aimlessly in this world and try to figure it out of ourselves. But instead, he sent his Spirit to direct our steps, to lead us, to guide us, to teach us all things, and to bring all things to our remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Oh, praise the Lord. What a wonderful plan, our God. Oh, show me thy ways, O Lord, and teach me thy paths. Oh, praise the Lord, we can be led of him, just as he instructed those of old that would seek him, just as he instructed Solomon when Solomon inquired with all his heart and asked to be taught of the Lord, just as Manoah and his wife sought to know the ways of the Lord and the direction that God would have them to go in. God has that for his people today, so we can walk in that path. We can walk down that highway of holiness that he has brought forth for his people, so that we can know the way, we can know the path of life, that straight path that he has directed for our feet. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Oh, yes, thou wilt show me the path of life. Thy presence is fullness of joy. And at thy right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. No, there's nothing like the presence of the Lord that comes to dwell in us. Of course, the third chapter of Acts, as Peter was preaching, oh, and he told the people, repent ye therefore and be converted that your sins may be blotted out, and the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And he said, and he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you. Yes, he sends a comforter, doesn't he? That comforter is the Spirit of the living God, the Spirit that was in Jesus Christ. And as Peter proclaimed it here to the multitude that had gathered, he shall send Jesus Christ, whom before was preached unto you. Yes, the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, that thing which angels inquire about, the thing that the prophets wrote of and didn't understand. But yet it was for this dispensation, this time period, that we could receive the Spirit of the living God, so that he would show us thy ways and teach us his paths. Oh, praise the Lord. Brother Tim's going to come and close this service. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Love you, Jesus.
Okay, thank you, Shirley. That was a very good message. I have to say that I really enjoyed that because it resonated with me in such a big way, in that being led of the Lord is not always an easy thing to deal with. And you might be in the jungles of South America or in the concrete jungles of New York or Singapore, or you might be in the backside of the desert somewhere in Australia. Wherever you are and whatever you're going through, sometimes you're not going to always understand what it is and why you're going through what you're going through. And sometimes you just have to trust God for the outcome. Believe God. Know that He has your back. And I want to kind of read right quickly here Psalm 23, where it talks. I'm just going to put my reading glasses on. Bear with me. And it goes on to say here in verse, I'll just read the whole thing. How's that? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. But we all need a shepherd in this life. His name is Jesus. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. And how many know that sometimes before you find a pool of water, that you need to go through the desert to find it? As the Lord led the Israelites forth out of Egypt, He didn't take them the easy way. He took them through the hard route before they went into Canaan land. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. I just want to say, not to take up all your time here in closing, but that to know this, that He restoreth my soul, He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake, means He'll lead you and He'll guide you, but sometimes not without great hardship. Sometimes the Lord is going to sorely test and try you, going to try your faith. But He's expecting you to follow through. But He's testing and trying you. So don't get discouraged. Know that God is with you. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest, Thou know this, in the end days here. We enter into the end days. We are already in the end days. The time of the Lord is at hand. Time, as we know it, is about finished. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Oh boy, Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And what is the goal? The goal is this: I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. We want the Lord to lead, guide, and direct us. That one day, like the Israelites, after being sorely tested and tried, after being led through the desert, after being led through hardship, hunger and thirst, those that remained faithful to the Lord entered into Canaan land. Amen. And so it is, as the Lord leads His people in Shirley's message tonight. I want to close, He leadeth me, in page 184 in the hymn book, if we could go there. He leadeth me. Oh, blessed thought. Oh, words with heavenly comfort fraught. Whatever I do, wherever I be, still 'tis God's hands that leadeth me. He leadeth me, He leadeth me, by His own hands He leadeth me. His faithful follower I would be, and He leadeth me. When times mid seen, oh, deepest gloom, sometimes where Eden's bowers bloom, by water still or troubled sea, still 'tis His hands that leadeth me. He leadeth me, He leadeth me, by His own hands He leadeth me. His faithful follower I would be, for by His hands that leadeth me. Lord, I would clasp Thy hands in mine, nor ever murmur nor repine, content whatever lot I see, since 'tis my God that leadeth me. He leadeth me, He leadeth me, by His own hands He leadeth me. His faithful follower I would be, for by His hands He leadeth me. And when my task on earth is done, when by Thy grace the victory won, even death's cold wave I will not flee, since God through Jordan leadeth me. He leadeth me, He leadeth me, by His own hands He leadeth me. His faithful follower I would be, for by His hands He leadeth me. He leadeth me, He leadeth me, by His own hands He leadeth me. His faithful follower I would be, for by His hands He leadeth me. Praise God, be dismissed unto prayer. Amen.